anger and pain, you can't lay yourself down for the walk with Christ because you're involved in yourself. And although that's hard, I just want you to think about that. So the message today is, are you with me? And we're going to read Matthew 16, 24 through 28. The cross and self-denial. 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what they have done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's pretty powerful. I just want to pray over that. Almighty God, we come seeking you out in the midst of our brokenness and our joys. As individuals and as a community, move among us during this hour of worship, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Turn us from our foolishness and direct us to your truth in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our songs, and in all of our living. Bring forth in us the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we may learn and live as disciples of Christ. Father God, let your will be done. Use me to deliver your message today. For this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, welcome to the fourth Sunday of Lent. This week is traditionally named the Laetare. I did my study. Sunday. A Sunday of celebration. A Sunday of rejoice. So this is also the halfway mark of Lent. And I noticed a shift. Spring is in the air, and there seems to be a slight lifting of the somberness of Lent. I think it's because we are now able to envision what lies beyond the cross. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I think I'm starting to get excited. As I was preparing, I thought to myself, this celebration and rejoicing doesn't really fit with the reading today, like, at all. So I'm like, how is this going to work out, Lord? So the scripture in Matthew is pretty intense, and I have to say that I did quite a bit of praying. As I was preparing this message, I just kept praying, Lord, not me, just you. Lord, not me, your will, not mine. So it's a little different than giving my testimony. I had something come to me. There's the American dream, right? A great job, a house with a white picket fence, a nice, reliable car, that would be great, and a family. Isn't that what we've all been working for? Right? What about, instead of that, we refocus on God's intention for us? What about the kingdom of heaven dream? Can you imagine that? Just take that in for a second. Like, what would that look like? The kingdom of heaven dream. I think that now it's something to rejoice and celebrate in that. I'm wondering who would be all in with me. Are we all in for the kingdom of heaven dream? Hold that thought. I think that that's something that I personally really want to work for and invest in the rest of my life. I don't think that people today use that perspective quite often. We as a society have become so focused on the American dream that it has developed into the everything and anything of this world dream. In this scripture it says in verse 26, for what will it profit then if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? There's a trade-off there. That made me think of my life. What am I doing? What am I working for? Most of us are just trying to get by, just trying to make it, and in that we've suffered great losses. In time that we spent chasing the American dream, our families have suffered. Tragedies have happened, losses of loved ones. We've witnessed catastrophic earthly events where people have lost everything. Don't get me wrong. I love the American dream. I love being an American. I respect the people that serve our country. I'm looking at the end goal. And I just want you to take a minute and think about what that means for you. The end goal. Not just the here and now. It's great to be an American indeed. Amen? Amen. But it's greater to be a Christian. And being a Christian, that means that we are disciples of Christ. But what does that look like? What are the requirements of being a disciple of Christ? Well, there's an app for that. It's a Bible app. That's the only thing you got. You got to turn to Jesus. Sorry. The subtitle of this portion of the chapter 16 is The Cross and Self-Denial. Now, in context, Jesus has just rebuked Peter for setting his mind on human things and not divine things. Jesus then spells out exactly what it takes to be a disciple. Are you ready? Yeah, I thought I was. There are three foundation truths, requirements, if you will, in order to be a disciple. According to Jesus, this is what it takes. We must deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross. And we need to follow God. Pretty simple. In verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Again, seems simple, right? Words seem great. Let's dive into that a little deeper. The word want, what does that mean? It means desire. This means that we become followers of Jesus, but do we desire to? Do we really? When Jesus says deny ourselves, he's not talking about chocolate. That's what I thought. Netflix. He's not talking about our iPads and our video games. Thank God there are kids here. He's talking about denying ourselves, meaning dying of ourselves. Saying no to self-will and saying yes to God's will. Say no to self-will and saying yes to God's will. Yet, we're born into the sin nature. That throws a little curveball. Now, since we're born into sin, is it our worldly nature to seek God? In order for us to seek after God, to desire God, there has to be a divine intervention on our behalf because we get caught up in the world. Squirrel. Bird. Squirrel. It is God who takes the first step by working on our hearts. He opens the eyes of our heart, but it is up to us to replace the desires of our heart with his desires. That's our free will. This puts a burden on our soul to seek Jesus out, even when everything in this world is pulling us to seek out our self-desires and our self-gratification. We get that tug we can't put that finger on, but we know what that is. It's God. In that denial of self, we deny self-will for his will. We then take ourselves off the throne. And some of you may think I wasn't on the throne. Well, you were on your pedestal. Whatever you want to call it. You need to dethrone yourself. That's when our dream changes to hope for the kingdom of heaven dream. That's when it happens. Paul sums it up here, Galatians 2:20. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let's take a look at what it means to take up your cross. Your cross is not your burdens in life. It's not sickness. It's not issues that you carry. It is suffering for his sake. What does that mean? You mean I actually have to suffer? Suffering for his sake, even unto death if necessary. Now, was like a cross back then, it was an instrument of death. Even though the disciples didn't know that Jesus would be crucified, they knew what a cross was, suffering and death. It was pretty common in those days to see people hung on a cross and to shame someone that's been being executed. The Romans would make the convicted person carry their cross to their execution. So what does that mean for us? We're supposed to pick up our cross. So what Jesus is saying here is that he must suffer, his disciples must suffer, and on top of that, they could and should expect persecution for sharing his gospel. What does that mean for us? Are we disciples of Christ? That means we take up our own cross and suffer for his sake. That's heavy. This means each of us may suffer differently. So Christians in, say, Puerto Rico, and Christians here in Mount Air, we're going to suffer differently. Some people may lose their life. We're not in that situation right now, but we could be someday. Paul teaches us that it is a gift to suffer for the sake of Jesus. Yeah, that's what I said. So let's take a look at that in Philippians 1:29. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Let me just read that again. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only to believe in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Wow. I've been looking at this all wrong. I thought I was being punished all these years. A lot of resentment, as I was saying, a lot of anger. I wish I would have been willing to see this with the eyes of my heart long ago. Especially when I was living in the illusion that God was my personal genie. Because I read one time, and when it's in the Bible, it's true, it says, ask and you shall receive. So I'm like, where's my lamp? You know? So then I had to read in context, as Pastor Reuben so politely pointed out. And I realized I wasn't ready. So when you're ready and God opens the eyes of your heart, he starts revealing different things. You can read the same thing over and it means something different. And then it starts convicting you. I'm finding as the eyes of my heart are open, the focus is becoming more clear, more defined, and helping me become more spiritually mature and closer in my personal relationship to God. In that maturity, I know that by being a believer of Jesus and being a disciple for Christ, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be persecuted. Even telling people I was going to be here today, it really got to me because I had a lot of people persecuting me. So it takes a toll on you, and you're like, well, what am I doing here? But then I thought, I'm standing on God's truth.
Amen.
I may even lose my life one day. Yeah, that's a reality. But guess what? I'm now okay with that because this life, this world has brought me nothing but pain. I have a little bit of joy in there, don't get me wrong. But my decisions and my way of doing things has brought me a lot of pain. I also know this, that my suffering in Jesus identifies me with him. It connects me. It connects me because he was looking up. He was suffering. I'm okay with suffering. It shows my willingness to endure persecution, ridicule, shame, all for his sake. Would you truly, truly, being put in a situation, deny any other religion or world order for the sake of Jesus Christ? Yeah, I'd like to think so. But when you're put to that, and your life is at risk, or your family's life is at risk, yeah, it's a different story. We aren't in that position right now, but some Christians are. Are you still with me? Are we still all in?
Yes.
Yeah, we're all in, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. In Revelation 12:11, but they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not cling to life even in the face of death. That is powerful scripture. The third thing, we need to follow Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? What does that look like? Coming to church is following Jesus, right? We imitate him and the things that he did. He served. He served and he suffered. So we imitate that. We can become losers. How's that? I don't have to lose weight. I just can become a loser and I'm a winner. So that's all good for me. We become heavenly minded, not worldly minded. Yeah. We keep our eyes on the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven dream. We keep that alive and burning with fire. We know the cross comes before the crown. There's a purpose, right? And we fear God more than we fear man. We endure to see God reign just like Jesus did. And that's how we follow him. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. This taking up our cross is not a one-stop thing. No. Sorry, it's just not. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily.
Amen.
Daily. And follow me. That's the secret right there. Let me just say this. You cannot pick up your cross if you are not denying yourself. You are not going to be able to do that if you don't deny yourself. What does that mean? I'm not talking about things, basic needs. But you have to become nothing. And to me, that meant worthless. But it's not. It's not the same. It's nothing. It's humble. Because it's not about you. We learned that from Reuben, right? It's not about you. In addition, you cannot pick up your cross if you are wounded. If you are fractured. You can't pick it up. You've got to lay that stuff down. You've got to leave it at the cross. I'm talking about the anger for God or a fractured spirit caused by abuse or life circumstances. Things like rage, regret, shame, and pain. Wanting what we feel entitled to. We want what's ours, right? We work for it. That's what we've earned. Those are all part of self-being. If you really want to pick up your cross, you have to lay those things down fully and commit to the process. Now, process to me is like baking. I want a cookie. I've got a recipe. I have the ingredients. I make the cookie. I get the cookie. I eat the cookie, right? I know those things. But this process is different because we don't know. We have to follow Jesus. And how do we do that? We imitate him. Sometimes this takes work spiritually to get some healing. Sometimes it's so hard when we are blinded by our pain. Don't just go through the motions. We must also follow God's word. This is the most important. John 8:31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." In verse 25, of Matthew, it goes on and says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Those who lose their life for his sake will find it." That's scary, because you have to let go. It's like that kid that's learning how to walk, and they're like this, and you're across the room, and they're like, "I'm going to touch you," and they don't want to let go, and not finally let go. It's like that. That means that this means that you are self-preserving. If you're trying to keep the things that you've earned in this life and you are trying to hold on, mine was family. I was really trying to hold on to my family. I didn't want to lose my mom, didn't want to lose my dad, didn't want to move out of Colorado. I didn't want something to happen to them and then I wasn't there. Your family's going. We're all going. But wouldn't it be great to be able to meet them? If you're self-preserving right now, meaning holding on to everything that you have of this earth, you will lose it, period, guaranteed. These are actions of flesh and are not pleasing to God. Romans 8:7-8, "For the reason the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." I want to please God. That's my mission right now. We need to be willing to lose everything in order to gain everything, including our lives. This is serious stuff. Jesus gave it all. All to him I owe, right? Yes. That's what the hymn says. Yes. Jesus described in Matthew 21 how he would undergo great suffering and that he would be killed, but that on the third day, what happens? He rises, right? That's what we all celebrate. So by dying of ourselves, we gain life. But we have to be willing to give it up. And verse 26, "For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" There's a price. What can you give God in return for your life? Your house? Your car? Your family? The lottery that you just won? Who won? Not me. Nothing. Zip, zilch, nada. You can't offer God anything that you don't have because nothing on this earth is yours. Amen? Remember, this is not about you. But it is. Except it's not about yourself. It's about your soul. That soul belongs to God. And it is meant for eternal life. And there is only one thing that can buy your soul back. That's the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blood of Christ is the most powerful thing that existed on this earth. There is power in the blood of Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To finish up, the scripture reads, for the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What does that mean? Well, there's a lot of debate on that. I read and got lost in a rabbit hole. So, I know one thing, Jesus is coming. There will be judgment on every man and every woman. So we should be prepared. The word repay in the scripture means repay either by following Christ or denying Christ. So we can be repaid in one way or the other. Didn't we just learn about being prepared in the parable of the 10 virgins? We should take God up on his invitation and wear the proper garments like Pastor Reuben spoke about in the parable of the wedding banquet. Our works and our deeds are not our salvation, but evidence that we are truly saved. That's evidence. So our works in the text are denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Jesus. Your works in heaven are rewarded by believing in Jesus right now. Denying yourself today. Sooner than later. Sooner than later. In closing, I encourage you to keep your sight on the kingdom of heaven dream. It's okay to work for the American dream, but we are working for the end goal where you prepare for your life in heaven. I leave you with 3 reasons to repent and die of yourself today. The life you think you have is just a vapor. Just a vapor. Time is short, life is short. 2, all the valuables you acquire and cherish on this earth are worthless. Worthless compared to your soul. There indeed is judgment to come. Seek God first in all things by setting your mind on the divine and not the human things. Amen?
Amen.
I just want to close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word today. May you open the eyes of our heart, Lord, so we may receive this message today and apply it. May we seek you first and lay down our old self to become anew in a life lived by faith and according to your will, not ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank